It's your host, Nostalgic Nick from Do You Remember? And today we're bringing you the top 10 1970s one-hit wonders. How did they come about? What were they about? And of course, where are they now? So dust off those bell bottoms, throw on a halter top, some hoop earrings, and get ready for some good times. Here we go. Although Dancing in the Moonlight can certainly be described as a happy song, its origins aren't actually happy at all. In fact, the inspiration for this song is downright terrifying. Musician and writer Sherman Kelly and his girlfriend took a schooner from St. Thomas to St. Croix. They decided to camp out on the beach under the moonlight. There, they were brutally attacked by a local criminal gang, and his girlfriend Adrian was raped and she feared that she might be killed. But all of a sudden, Sherman regained consciousness and made enough noise to scare the gang off, most likely saving both of their lives. Sherman suffered from broken ribs and a fractured face. The doctors didn't even think he would make it, but fortunately for the world, he did. Although he couldn't play in a band for a long time, he was still writing, and during his recovery, he wrote Dancing in the Moonlight. He wanted to write about a world that was pretty much the exact opposite of the night he experienced in the Caribbean. Dancing in the Moonlight is about a world where nobody barks and nobody bites. The feeling is warm and bright, and nobody fusses and nobody fights. Sound familiar? The song went on to chart at number 13 on the Billboard charts, was covered by the Baha Men, and was hit all over again when it was covered by an English band, Top Loader. The song prominently features a Wurlitzer piano, which you might recognize from some other famous songs. Brandy, You're a Fine Girl was released in 1972 by The Looking Glass from their debut album, Looking Glass. It was written by Looking Glass lead guitarist Elliot Lurie. The song was originally released as a B-side to the single Don't It Make You Feel Good, but was then released as a single itself because it was more popular than the A-side. The song is about a barmaid at a busy seaport who falls in love with a sailor. But even though Brandy is a fine girl, they cannot be together because the sailor's first love is the sea. A pirate's life for him, I guess. The story is remarkably similar to that of a Mary Ellis, a famous New Jersey spinster who waited until she died for her love to return from the sea. But the writer, Elliot Lurie, claims it's just a remarkable coincidence, and it's actually loosely based on a girl he knew named Randy. The song went all the way up to number one on the US charts, and was recently featured prominently in the blockbuster Marvel hit Guardians of the Galaxy series as the opening scene. Well, Elliot is 71 years old now, but he is still performing, and he still has a great voice. Released on Knight's 1971 debut album of the same title, it became a huge crossover hit. The song spent 5 weeks at number one on the Billboard Soul Singles Chart and peaked at number two on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart. Knight performed the song on Soul Train on December 11, 1971 during its first season. Mr. Big Stuff became one of Stax Records' more popular and recognizable hits. It was featured in the 2007 miniseries The Bronx is Burning. Jean Knight was nominated for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance at the 1972 Grammy Awards, but she lost out to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. This is not her only time on the charts, although it is her most notable. In 1985, she gained more recognition when she covered Rockin' Sidney's Zydeco novelty hit, My Toot Toot. This famous tune was written by Andy Frazier and Paul Rodgers. Paul Rodgers went on to front the supergroup Bad Company, and even fronted Queen after Freddie Mercury's death. John Mellencamp even called Rodgers the best rock singer ever. But there wasn't always rock star praise and fanfare for the band. In fact, according to the bassist and songwriter, All Right Now was written after the band played a terrible game. He stated, "This night, it just wasn't happening. We absolutely sucked." Afterwards in the dressing room, there was just this horrible silence, a really bad atmosphere. So to try and alleviate the tension, I just started singing, you know? All right now, baby, it's all right now. Over and over. Kind of like a parent trying to get their kids along, but it worked. The rest of the band started tapping along, and so I thought, we're on to something here. They definitely were, because the song went on to number one in the UK and number four in the US. To this day, pretty much everybody has heard this song. The Hustle by Van McCoy is the only instrumental song in our countdown, but that doesn't make it any less wondrous. In case you haven't noticed yet, disco was a pretty big deal in the 70s. Did you have a favorite disco song? Is it on our list? Make sure to let us know in the comments. The song was actually conceived in New York City. One night, Van McCoy was at a club named The Adam's Apple, and he watched patrons doing a dance called The Hustle. That week, he and his band recorded the song The Hustle, and the rest is history. It went all the way up to number one, and was even sampled by the late pop sensation Selena years later. Now, McCoy has about 700 song copyrights to his credit. I mean, he has produced songs for many famous artists, including Gladys Knight, The Stylistics, and Aretha Franklin. But nothing will ever top The Hustle. Love hurts. This song has actually been recorded and released by a number of famous and successful artists, including the Everly Brothers, Roy Orbison, Emmylou Harris, and even the iconic Cher. There are actually so many versions of this song, you wouldn't believe it. In 2006, Rod Stewart covered the song on an album that went to number one. And there's even a bluegrass version prominently featured in the hit Marvel movie Deadpool 2. Although Nazareth didn't write this song, they did record the most successful version of it in the United States. I mean, their version reached the top 10 in the US. It's quite impressive considering the competition. Rap started in the Bronx in the early 1970s. Rappers and MCs would rhyme over DJs looping certain parts of funk, disco, and R&B records. Rappers and DJs would battle to see who could rock the party better. The track was produced by Sylvia Robinson. It uses the bass line from the song Good Times by Chic and features the vocals of Wonder Mike, Big Bang Hank, and Master G. Widely recognized as the first rap song, Rapper's Delight introduced hip-hop to the world, charting in the top 40 in the US and reaching the top 3 in the UK and Canada. I mean, nobody had ever heard anything like this before. But still, many thought rap was a novelty that would come and go. And as we know today, rap did not come and go, and went on to become one of the most popular genres in America. And for this reason, it is widely regarded as one of the most important tracks ever made, and was entered into the Library of Congress in 2011. But the Sugar Hill Gang never repeated their success. This song received many awards, including the Grammy for Song of the Year, and is the only song on our list to have won an Oscar for Best Original Song. This song was truly record-breaking, as it held the number one position on the Billboard Hot 100 chart for 10 consecutive weeks straight, which at the time was a new record. Although it was originally written as a love song for a movie of the same title, Boone, a devout Christian, interpreted the song as more inspirational, and claimed that it was actually about God lighting up her life. Although in 1980, Boone returned with a number one country hit, Are You on the Road to Lovin' Me Again, she would never repeat the record-breaking success she enjoyed for You Light Up My Life. And it's probably worth noting, she's the daughter of Pat Boone, who, according to Billboard, was the second biggest charting artist of the late 1950s, only beaten by the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley himself. But hey, you already knew that, didn't you? Released in 1970, Ooh Ooh Child was a B-side to a Beatles cover, Dear Prudence, but the B-side ended up overshadowing the A-side, going all the way up to number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. And guess what? This is another song that was prominently featured in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy series. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. And yet another song on our list that inspired countless covers, from huge artists like Nina Simone, Dusty Springfield, Hall & Oates, and Janet Jackson. Trey from Fish even covered it on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. I mean, hey, long live the 70s, am I right? My Sharona could be the ultimate one-hit wonder of all time. Good luck finding anyone who hasn't heard this classic of rock and roll. Get the Knack was actually the fastest-selling debut album for a group since Meet the Beatles. And of course, the number one selling single of 1979, the song has a pretty literal meaning. The lead singer, Doug Feiger, actually knew a girl named Sharona Alperin, and he used the song to win her over. Needless to say, it worked. At one point, they were even engaged, but they were never married. Feiger's rock and roll lifestyle became too much to handle, and they called it off. Not sure if muses get royalties for songs, but Sharona is doing just fine, and is now a successful realtor in Los Angeles. When Feiger passed away, Sharona wrote, "From the time Doug and I first met, both of our lives changed forever. It's very rare for two people to have such an impact on each other. The bond we shared is something that I will treasure as long as I live. He will always have a special place in my heart." So how'd we do? Did we miss any 70s one-hit wonders? Which one of these is your favorite?